Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Welcome, everyone. You've all signed on one right after the other so perfectly in chronology. It was great. All right. Thanks for being here. Who would like to get us grounded before we begin our call?
This is Jess. I'll go.
Great. Thanks, Jess, and welcome back.
Thank you. So wherever you're at, preferably seated, uncross your legs and just let your feet make contact with the earth. Physically align yourself so that your spine is straight and tall, like an open channel, a conduit of receiving all of this great information. And then notice the breath. Let the breath flow through that long, straight spine, that channel, traveling all the way from the crown of the head down to your feet. With every inhale, imagine your sternum bone rising up towards your chin, even as your chin is parallel with the floor. With every exhale, imagine that your feet and your pelvis could feel a little bit heavier, even while your heart remains open. And like water filling a glass, let the breath fill the container of the body, every cell, every tissue, every organ. Just breathing freshness into the layers of the body, the mind, the spirit. And letting that fresh breath remove anything that's stale and create space for anything that's new that wants to take life within you. So we're integrating not only the body, the mind, and the spirit, but also the past and all of our experiences, the imagined future, that we can land right here, fully receptive in the present. And then just soften the corners of the eyes and relax the jaw. Maybe place your hands on your heart. And then begin to blink open your eyes if they've been closed. And just bring yourself ready for the call.
Thank you, Jeff. That was lovely. So welcome, everyone. Here it is, March. March 4th. I can't believe it's how fast. We're already into 2014. So Brandy will not be with us this morning or next week. So it's just the four of you. And so I would like to go around the group and just check in with a win you'd like to share, a challenge you'd like to share, and then also let myself and everyone know if you received the mentor story document and how it's going with your buddy check-in. So four pieces. Anyone want to start us off?
This is Frances. I'll go.
Thanks, Frances.
So a win this week is more something that I'm excited about, but Nathan's parents are coming into town this weekend, so they're driving out from Missouri. And it's also Frozen Dead Guy Days up in Ned, which those of you who don't live here.
Excuse me, if we went to get what is that?
What?
I have no idea what you just said, and I'm sure the other ones don't either.
Frozen Dead Guy Days is a festival in Ned. You've not heard of this, Sasha?
I haven't. I'm so out of the loop. I'm sorry. Wow.
You'll have to come up this weekend then.
Okay, I'll be right there. Go ahead. Well, I think we lost her.
There's like this one uncle, his family used to live there, and so it's become this whole festival in town, and there's music and events and a coffin race and things like that. So it's just it's this little thing they have every year in March.
Sorry.
No, it's hilarious. But Nathan's parents are coming in, so that'll be really exciting. It's always fun when they visit, and they were here last year during this time as well, so it's kind of become a little tradition that they visit around Frozen Dead Guy Days. And a challenge, I just have a lot going on in the next week all the way through next Monday. And it's mostly stuff I've taken upon myself, all stuff I've taken upon myself. I'm just subbing a lot, which is good, but I just have to mentally prepare myself for it. Sorry, what were the other two things?
Did you receive the document, the mentor coach story?
Yes, I received that. And
then how's it
buddy
going with your buddy? Yes.
Buddy checks are really awesome. We haven't, I think it's the last 2 weeks, we haven't been able to connect quite as much. But we're definitely setting the intention for every Saturday to call and just check in and everything. So, yeah, when we do chat, it's been really, really great.
Great. Thanks for that feedback, Frances. Tell me briefly and quickly one thing you can do for self-care in the next week that you feel overwhelmed.
I think just find space to be alone, and that re-energizes me quite a bit.
Great. Okay, well, you get to start that alone time after our call.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Frances. Who's next?
Hi, this is Nicole. I'll go.
My
win was that I did one of my 90-day goals, which was to invite my best friend down to have fun for 2 full days. And so she came down and took all my yoga classes, and we gave each other Reiki and massage and on a Thursday and a Friday, and that felt really awesome, which was one of the reasons why I couldn't meet with Frances on Saturday, because I was driving her to the airport. But it was so nice to be able to do something social and something, even though I was working, I was still, like, with my best friend and relaxing and just having a good time. So that felt awesome. And then my challenge, I guess, would just be the same thing it's been. I tried to go back to a yoga class and my back again. So I recognize that I just need to, I think, just let that be part of the process of self-care, because when I'm not doing yoga at this point in my life, just given all that's on my plate, I have extra time in the week to do other things that I need to be doing. So just giving myself patience and nurturance and a bit of cutting myself some slack.
Nice. And the two other pieces, well, you've already talked about the buddy check-in. Did you receive the mentor coach share document?
I did, thank you.
Okay, great. Are you practicing any yin or any chorus in yin?
I'm practicing meditation, which has actually been amazing. So that's been my practice of yoga, yeah.
Great. Great. I like hearing about the patience and the self-care. So continue to take good care of yourself. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank
Jess
you.
Or Olga, you're welcome.
Yeah, this is Olga. I'll go. A win has been taking some time to do some self-care. I actually was coached by Brandy on Thursday and, you know, just realized how much I had on my plate. So I gave myself permission to do that, so that was really good. And my challenge is still, you know, focusing, because there's, you know, I do different things, you know, with my business, spending time with my kids, dealing, you know, with my husband with regard to issues with the kids, retirement, taxes, my 82-year-old mother. So, yeah, so there's quite a lot there. So, yeah, my challenge is focusing. But I don't feel as tired this week. I also did go for an acupuncture session on Saturday, so that was really helpful. I felt very energized on Sunday. So the buddy check-ins have been great. We get to speak every Thursday, 12 o'clock my time, and I did receive the document.
Great. Thanks, Olga. So do you feel like you were energized by the acupuncture session, or was there anything else in there that allowed you to be busy but still be, you know, feel energized?
I think because I shared it with my daughter, and it was community acupuncture, so she was getting it while I was getting it, and, you know, we were both relaxed, and the room was just so, so pleasant, you know, with no distractions, and the music was wonderful, and the people were wonderful, and, and just sharing it with her was a big plus.
That's terrific. Thank you. Yes. Yes, you still with us?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm ready to go. I feel like I've had a few wins. But one of which is that I met with the teacher manager, Barbara Rehm, who used to do all of the LA studios, and now she does a portion of them, and then in the next week I'm meeting with the other person who manages the studios, so I'm really putting myself out there, and part of that entails creating a full yoga resume, which includes my work with Reiki and the healing arts, and my challenge is that I'm on day 2 of a 21-day food-based cleanse, and I have some headaches this morning.
Wow. 19 more days?
Yep.
have you done this particular cleanse before?
I haven't, but it's very gentle. It's all plant-based, but it's you eat the whole time, and I feel very, very good about it.
Just make sure it's staying hydrated. Drink a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Any other two pieces, Jess?
Yes. So the buddy check-ins have been going great. I've only been able to be a part of one because of my schedule, but I'll be on one with Olga this week. And I got coached last week by Brandy, and it was super powerful. 2 weeks ago by Brandy. It was really, really powerful. I enjoyed that. And I did receive the story document that you sent.
Great. Awesome. Well, welcome back. I'm glad you're training with all, too. So just listening to the four of you share what's going on and what's up for you, what I hear is this piece of huge self-care. And, you know, when I give a practice, we work with polarities, right? And it shows up in our life, too, like this sense of overwhelm or busyness or what we are now sometimes calling abundance versus the time to dedicate to self-care. And whether you're coaching your client through these challenges or whether you're experiencing them yourself, just recognizing where that balance sometimes shifts to one or the other. And in our culture, unfortunately, we tend to shift more towards the abundance and busyness and the overwhelm. But just to remind ourselves what we already know about the self-care piece, that it's so essential for showing up not only in our own lives, but then for the people that we are engaging with, and especially with our clients. So being able to model that for our students on the mat as well as our clients off the mat is really, really big. So thank you for sharing. All right. We'll transition. Any questions from the reading before we begin our agenda? And if not, let's turn to page 100. And just briefly review what we talked about last week, just to
really seal these tools in a simple coaching model and reframe, for me, not reframe, review, framing the session. So on page 100 at the top, Olga, would you read just the first two paragraphs?
The culmination of each coaching session is to reach an agreement about the next steps that the client will commit to in the following week prior to the next session. A formal stated action plan by the client allows both coach and client to know exactly what the client's commitment is and how success will be measured. Both parties are clearly and specifically focused on the success map for that week.
Great. So we spent a lot of time talking about this. Are there any questions about this fourth step, framing the session, that maybe weren't clear in last week's session? Awesome. It is pretty straightforward, but I just wanted to give you an opportunity to ask if you needed to. And then today we'll just, again, very briefly discuss the fifth tool, which is the follow-up. So, Nicole, would you read just the sole paragraph there underneath follow-up?
Sure. A key role for a mentor coach is that of accountability partner. In the subsequent session as a coach, you're an accountability partner. This means that you've jotted down the client's commitments from the previous session, and if the client does not mention what he or she has done regarding those commitments, it is your obligation to check in. A follow-up for the client's commitments of things to accomplish between sessions builds in accountability and continuity with the overall mission.
Great. Again, this is pretty straightforward, but nonetheless super, super important. And when we listen to the coach demo at the top of the hour, we'll be listening for this piece the most. But from any of the four of you, are there any questions about the follow-up from what Nicole just read? Okay. So the biggest takeaway here is accountability, right? And that's what differentiates coaching from counseling, consulting, therapy, anything like that, is keeping your client accountable for the things that they committed to the session prior. And I pretty much always lead in with my sessions on checking in on the homework and how did it go, and talk about that for a little bit. Will one of you share an experience where you've been held accountable and what that looked like for you? And it can be in any place in your life.
Hi, this is Nicole. I can think of one just because it happened yesterday. Jess and I had the annual review at Yoga Works, which was another win. Went really well.
Nice.
And we do something similar to, I guess, kind of like SMART goals, where we write down our main objectives for the year and by quarter what we're trying to achieve. And so as a manager, you know, Jess can check in with that. I can be held accountable for my actions. And if things aren't going well, we know, or are going really well, we just know, you know, each quarter where we're headed and what's happening. And so it keeps us both on track. So.
Great. It's a perfect example. And just know that this is one, I mean, they're all super important, but this is what keeps your client moving forward with their agenda, right? Because you can have a call every week and not be in action and still be stuck in the same place. So I just wanted to make sure that we went over that piece. We'll listen for it later, and if you guys have any questions. Sounds like we're pretty clear. So let's dive into today's agenda, which is on page 145, your undeniable benefit statement. We're going to spend some time on this. And it's sort of a little shift back to the elevator speech tapping into a bit of the business and marketing side of mentor coaching. Just know that it was supposed to be on week 12, but it's now moved to week 11 due to my necessity to skip the week that I was in Florida. Dr. Dave will be leading a business call. All your questions, things around marketing, creating your business, how much to charge, retainers, things like that on week 11 as opposed to week 12. Okay, so this is just tapping into one piece of it. We're going to read through this because I feel like it's super, super important and I want to be sure that everyone's really clear. So, Francis, would you start the reading on page 145 and just read the first two paragraphs, please?
Sure. Your undeniable benefits statement is the first sentence you say out loud when describing to people what you do as a mentor coach. It will be the most prominent sentence in your role description, and you may include it on the back of your business card. This statement is your response to what do you do uniquely well and how do you describe it? Your undeniable benefit statement is one succinct, distinctive, and compelling sentence that immediately tells people who you work with, what you work on, and the benefits. It is your value proposition and description of benefits that your clients get in working with you. The statement is not about you, the features, or the virtues of your coaching, but who you work with and the benefits they receive from working with you.
Great. So has anyone ever done an undeniable benefit statement, or maybe you labeled it something different? As a yoga teacher, whatever other hat you wear in your world. Is anybody just familiar with this type of statement?
This is Olga. I am a part of Business Network International. I think I shared that with the group in the past. And so we have like a one-minute presentation that we have to do like every week and what we're asking for the week. And so should I share what I...
Yes, please. I would love for you to share.
Yeah. So I may come up and say, you know, I help people to find the appropriate amount of property and liability insurance for their businesses so that they are not over or underinsured, and I may add, you know, so that they comply with state law, et cetera. Yeah. So something small like that.
Great. So you're giving a bit of information around what you do and around what population would be served or that would benefit from your services, correct?
Yes.
Great.
Because I only do commercial insurance for that particular group.
Great. So it's really important that when you're creating, we're just going to go with UBS right now, okay? We want to communicate effectively, persuasively, and concisely. So the basic challenge is to describe what you do as a mentor coach in such a compelling way that the person craves more information. So in terms of relating this to an elevator speech, and I love what Dr. Davis says about an elevator speech. He's like, no one ever put anything in an elevator. You know, the average individual attention span is 30 seconds or less, right? That's why commercials are so short, because people can't filter all that information. And I relate it to yoga by not giving too many cues in any asana, right? Because after two or three, we're just not listening anymore. We can't filter all that information. So there's a small parallel there. But you want to leave the person interested in hearing more about what you are doing. You want to get their attention and, you know, not share everything you do in like you would for a second conversation, but just a little bit, sort of a taste. And I'm curious if any of you could give an example just spontaneously in this moment to maybe
create a UBS for yourself as a yoga teacher. Anybody want to take a stab at that? And there's no right or wrong. There's no judgment. This is all just learning. So if I didn't know any of you, and I came to you, Jess, and we're just standing at Whole Foods because that's where we go, and we strike up a conversation, and I'm like, hi, how are you? Great. What do you do? Oh, you teach at Yoga Works? And what would you say that would give me a little bit more information? What could you say?
I guess I would say, if I'm using the framework of the UBS, I help both beginning and advanced yoga practitioners find a sense of peace and balance through better relating to their body and transforming their practice beyond merely physical postures.
And that was something you just thought up?
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing.
Okay. Did you write it down? I hope someone wrote that down.
but it is recorded.
I thought you were reading it.
You can also go back and listen. That is awesome. I'm like, she already created that. Wow. So, yes, using the structure on page 146 is incredibly helpful to create, and we'll get there in a moment. All right, let's move on with the reading. Jess, do you want to continue? Then just read through the bullet points on the top of page 146, starting with the next paragraph in the UB statement.
So the one that starts with outline?
The one that starts on right where Francis finished, so the third paragraph on 145.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said 146. Okay.
That's okay.
Your UB statement is about engaging clients. The ideal response from a potential client is, tell me more. The key element is if the people hearing it can place themselves inside it as a recipient of it and hear it speak to them about the benefit they will receive. Keep going?
Yes.
Okay. Craft the message with clarity, brevity, simplicity, and humanity. Avoid language that makes promises sound esoteric or feels vague or abstract. Avoid jargon. Consider this set of questions as you think about your UB statement. What is my promise? Who is it for? What problem does it solve? Who else out there is similar? How do I stand apart? What set of words summarizes this?
Great. All right. Thank you, Jess. Mm-hmm. So just going back to craft the message on page 145, craft the message with clarity, brevity, simplicity, and humanity. So simple that your grandmother can understand it. Okay. Brief, clear. And what part of this humanity piece speaks to you guys? What do you think that we're trying to say here in the humanity piece? Why is that important to have as part of your UBS? Anyone?
Hi, this is Nicole. The humanity piece is the emotional, I think, hook. Because it's like you don't want to be sold to like a car salesman. You want to actually connect with people on an emotional level. It was actually really interesting to read that in that article that you sent last night about how we interpret through the brain. I'd never heard that before. So interpreting emotionally is what sticks with people, and then they allow themselves to process logically. So
exactly, and thanks for taking the time to read that and make that connection, because it's exactly right. I like the word that you use, hook, hooking in the fact that we connected them on a personal, emotional, maybe a somatic level, that they feel something and from that place want to learn more. So that's a great explanation.
I feel like the most important communication is actually listening to your client to see what benefits you may bring, right? So say you're having a conversation with someone, maybe it's just with this person that you just met at Whole Foods, and you're chatting and you're asking him or her what's going on in their life, just through conversation. And as you're listening, you are deciding what benefits you can bring to this person. So as you're seeking new clients, maybe this person and maybe not, you're just practicing. You're just engaging with the world and getting more solid and more clear on your offering to see if whoever you engage with would be interested in your services, interested in working with you. But I think it's really, really important to understand, again, this skill of listening to then be able to know what to say in that conversation. Is that piece clear? So you have this UBS that you've created, yet you have to sometimes change the language depending upon the person that you're speaking to. So if you're looking for more yoga clients and you have this yoga UBS, right, and you meet someone at Whole Foods that doesn't practice yoga, has no interest in practicing yoga, but you also have this UBS that you wear two hats, that you are also a venture coach. And so the more skills that you have, the more offerings that you have, the more people you'll be able to attract into one of those places. Does that make sense? Okay, great. Let's continue on. Nicole, just finish out, we'll start in with your summer. Some examples, the structure that we're using, and then finish after that.
Okay. Here are some examples of effective UB statements. For a financial planner, I help families reach financial independence on their current salaries. For a publishing consultant, I help people get their books out of their heads and onto bookshelves. For a coach with a specific niche, I help women executives reach financial freedom by transforming their relationship to money. UB sentence structure. I help who blank to what blank. Steps to craft your UB statement.
I'm going to pause you there for a moment because I want to check in at this point. It's a lot of information. Were the four of you, who would like to share? I just changed from a yes or no question to a powerful question. Did you see how I did that? Okay, you guys are all on mute. Who would like to share their work in progress and what they crafted for their UBS?
This is Nicole. I literally have about 20 sentences.
Great. Choose one.
I haven't decided on any of them.
Close your eyes. Point your finger to one.
Okay. I turn life's traumas into fuel for healing and discovering joy.
Could you repeat that, please?
I turn life's traumas into fuel for healing and discovering joy.
Okay, so I've got a little background noise, so if you could put yourself on mute, awesome, thank you. So that's a great starting point. What I would like to know if I was chatting with you and listening to what you do is, how do you do that?
I empower people to heal and discover their highest potential is the next one I have. So
you're doing great.
I empower women.
Pause for a second.
Okay.
Your first one is great. I just want to know, so I think you would just expand your sentence or your statement to include, and some of these statements can get rather lengthy. You know, one sentence is enough, so it ends up being a run-on sentence. I'll share mine in a little bit. But if I were chatting with you in that statement, I'd want to know how you helped me discover joy and inspiration. Through what modes are you doing that? Or what modalities?
Through what modalities?
Yes.
Well, I have a lot. I would say through yoga, nutrition, wellness, and energy healing.
Okay, so put those three or four things that you just mentioned and insert them in your statement somewhere and read it again.
Okay. I turn life's traumas into fuel for healing and discovering joy through the practice or through the modalities of yoga, nutrition, wellness, and energy healing.
Great. To the rest of the people on the call, does that sound more effective than the first time that Nicole read it?
Yeah.
Okay. What was the difference?
It's more specific knowing how she does it. Maybe somebody else might be doing it by, you know, jumping off an airplane, skydiving. You know, so it's a good way to know how she's doing it.
Exactly. So Nicole is speaking to a specific market, right? People that are interested in her services through the modalities that she's offering are going to be her best clients. Does that make sense, Nicole?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions so far? Great. And Nicole, I would just encourage you to take all those 20 statements and just continue to distill them down. It's a work in progress. I don't expect any of you to have it nailed down. Mine is constantly evolving. What it was a year ago is different than what it is today. It's constantly changing because I'm constantly changing, and my work and the way that I want to show up in the world is constantly evolving. So just know that it's a work in progress. Would someone else like to share their EBS?
This is Olga, I'll share.
Thank you.
I help people manage addictions by using yoga, a 12-step program, and coaching.
Could you repeat that one more time?
I help people manage addictions with yoga, 12-step program, and coaching.
Great. Simple, concise, brief. I would challenge you in the first part.
Mm-hmm.
I help people with addictions. So you say people with, I didn't write it down. Can you repeat it one more time?
At first I had with. I help people with addictions. And then I said to myself that I changed the word with to manage. So I help people manage addictions with yoga, 12-step program, and coaching.
Okay. So clearly the demographic that you're reaching are people with addictions.
Mm-hmm.
And you're using the tools of yoga and meditation and 12-step. In combination with the 12-step to help them heal.
Yes.
Great. I love it.
Okay.
I love it. Okay, so just, you know, more on the learning piece. This UBS is, it's the key element to the UBS is that the person hearing it can put themselves in it. They can put themselves in the situation and say, they can say, tell me more. So as you're crafting this, just think about how it lands with you. And if you heard this, would you be interested in learning more? Because the UBS is not about spewing your whole life story to someone that you either know or don't know. They're not going to be able to filter in the information. It's sort of a catch. It's a 30-second or even less, a one-sentence statement that leaves people wanting to know more. Okay? And it's really important to use the language applicable to the person you're speaking to. I said that a little bit before. And I really feel, I'll hold off on that. All right, who hasn't read? Jess, would you finish us out from where Nicole left off down to the bottom of page 146?
I don't mind doing that, but I did already read if someone else wants
okay,
the opportunity.
Sorry, did everyone read? Okay, then you're up to bat again.
Okay. All right. Steps to craft your UB statement. Outline key pieces of information about your niche. What are the most crucial problems your ideal clients face? What are the most important specific goals they want to achieve? What is the most important and specific benefit or outcome my clients will receive by working with me? Ask yourself these questions to test the completeness of your UB. Does this UB describe in concrete, specific, and simple terms what I do so that anyone can understand it and refer clients to me? Does this UB distinguish me from other professionals? Does this UB catalyze ideas about where I can find my ideal clients?
Great. Thanks, Jess. So your professional identity, you're building a brand here. Your professional identity is your brand. And you want to ask yourself, how can you craft a message about what you do, which will then be an example of your professional identity. It's just a way to maximize marketing effectiveness. So I want to open this up to conversation. We've read this. We've shared a little bit. Let's open it up to a conversation around anything that we've talked about, even as specific as your own UB statement. And Francis and Jess, you're welcome to read yours if you'd like. So open forum right here. What sticks to you? What questions do you have? What's limiting you? What's holding you back? Where are you stuck?
This is Nicole. I have a question. I do have all of these statements, and I think it's, for me, a little overwhelming to move from this huge funnel down to distilling into one statement or two statements. Would you recommend, as we're building our practice, to have many different ones that we can use for different audiences? Like if I want to help women, my statement might be I empower women too, and then I decide, is it personal growth and empowerment? Is it healing and discovering joy? Is it connecting to their heart and their spirit? Is it discovering whatever? Based on who I end up talking to, that woman at that time, just know a few in the back of my head. So that I can customize it to whoever I'm speaking to, or is that just completely crazy?
Crazy would be a judgment, so not going there. And I don't think it's crazy in any way. I just wonder how much time, energy, and work that would create for you. So obviously, it's practice. Can you pull out of the hat exactly what you want to say to the person that you're speaking with? I think it's a brilliant way to connect with whoever you're speaking with, to customize your UBS so that it suits their needs. And then I also challenge you to find I want to keep it specific, but a statement that would be inclusive So then you still have to speak in general terms while being specific, which is a challenge. But the bottom line is you want the person you're speaking to want to know more. Can they put themselves, if you customize it, they're going to be able to put themselves in that space and say, wow, what are the benefits for me or people that I know that are dealing, that want to be working with you. So it's a yes. My opinion, if there's no formula other than that, you want to keep it short. You want to leave them wanting to know more. So if they're interested, then you set up a time to meet for a tea or whatever and learn more of the details.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
It is, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I think for you, you know, just within the confines of this conversation, because you've got so much written down and so much you want to share, I feel your biggest challenge may come in saying too much, you know, making it too long. So just continue to distill the most important pieces of how you want to brand yourself and your professional identity, and it can be in, you can have three or four of them.
Yeah.
Just don't make them too long.
Mm-hmm.
Great question. What else is coming up for you, guys?
This is Jess. Similar to Nicole, I think my challenge is knowing what it is that makes me unique and what I can be of greatest service doing. So I feel that I have a few different directions I could go in, and I guess I'll just spend more time playing around, but are there any tools or techniques for better clarifying what your unique purpose is and what your unique benefit is?
So the way, Jess, that I would address that is just throwing it back to you. And what's most important for your work in the world? How do you want to contribute would be the first place I would start. And then the second piece I would ask is, what's, even though I'm using the same word again, what's unique about Jess that's different from Nicole, that's different from Francis, that's different from the litany of Yoga Works teachers or yoga teachers in general in the world? How do you engage with your clients that's unique? Just from how you show up, what is the feedback then from people after your classes? How do they see you? How do you see yourself?
Those are all really powerful questions. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And just like you, I thought of them on the spot. So you inspired me.
Mm. Well, can I read? I have two of them, and I don't want to hog the agenda, but could I read them both? Because I feel like they're somewhat similar but different, and I don't know if I should combine them. So my first one is, I help stressed out, high-achieving women find personal renewal renewal and inner purpose for more balanced, fulfilling, and empowered lives. And then I added, based on Nicole's thing, through life coaching, yoga, and Reiki.
Okay, could you repeat that again?
Yes. Please. I help stressed-out, high-achieving women find personal renewal and inner purpose for more balanced, fulfilling, and empowered lives through life coaching, yoga, and Reiki.
What I'm going to, I have thoughts on it. Let's hear from the group. How does that land with you?
This is Olga. In the beginning, I personally, I like the high-achieving woman, you know, to find balance through the modalities that she offers. But when I hear stressed out, I hear judgment. I mean,
mm-hmm.
me personally.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Francis, any thoughts on how that lands with you if you were speaking with Jess?
I agree with the first part. The stressed out just seems, it stands out a lot more. So there might be another way to phrase that or convey that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I think otherwise it sounds really powerful.
Yeah. I agree. I agree completely. You guys said exactly what I was going to say. Stressed out is, it sort of takes away from me the empowering piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's like two polarities, right? You can have a high-achieving woman who may not be stressed out.
Yeah.
So we're assuming that because they're high-achieving that they're stressed. And we know our culture is overly stressed for sure. But I think I would take that out, say it again, and see how it feels just with taking that piece out.
Okay.
I help high-achieving women find personal renewal and inner purpose for more balanced, fulfilling, and empowered lives through life coaching, yoga, and Reiki.
How does that feel to you?
It feels better. It still feels too full. Like, I'm not really sure what my key benefit is, but I'll sit with it.
So through that statement, what are you trying to get across to your to the person you're speaking with? What is the benefit to them?
I think the benefit is personal renewal and inner purpose.
Okay. And it doesn't sound like that's convincing to you.
I don't know.
And it's a work in progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I invite you to just play around with that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And just use some different language. Yeah, it's got to land and resonate with you first before you are going to say it with conviction and passion that will make or allow the person that you're engaging with to want to know more. And we're just starting out with this. So why don't you briefly read your second one, and then I'm going to have Frances share hers.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. So my second one is I help business leaders find personal and professional clarity to balance immediate needs and strategic growth through mindful executive coaching.
One more time.
I help high-achieving business leaders find personal and professional clarity through mindful executive coaching.
Group, how does that land with you?
This is Nicole. I loved that. Actually, I thought that was really clear, and it sounded like she was really confident in saying it.
This is Olga. I felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
This is Frances. And the one, the thing that I saw that was similar or common within the two of your statements was the word clarity. So it sounds like that's something that you really would like to bring to your clients is just clarity in whatever situation.
Thank you.
Thanks, Frances, for being so clear. That was great. Just finding the common denominator. And the same thing for you, Nicole, as you go through your list of 20. What is that common denominator that keeps showing up in your UBS? That is your unique talent, your gifts, and benefits. If it keeps coming up, those same words keep coming up. You know, write out a few of them and see what words keep showing up, and those are the ones, those are the key ones to have in your UBS.
Mm, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. I agree that the second one was a little bit more succinct and clear. Frances, would you be willing to share what you wrote down for your UBS?
Sure. I help people who feel stuck in their life to move forward and step into their power through life coaching, yoga, and energy work.
And one more time, please, just because it's lengthy, not because I'm not listening.
I help people who feel stuck in their life to move forward and step into their power through life coaching, yoga, and energy work.
And so for the other three, how does that land for you?
This is Jess. I really liked the move forward. I felt a lot of positive energy behind that and step into their power. It made my ears perk up, so I really liked that piece of it.
Awesome. Anyone else? Okay. Francis, I'm going to challenge you. Can you say more, or let me step back. What do you mean by stuck?
That was the one piece when I was writing it. I was like, I don't know if I like that word. So,
and that's your intuition. That's your intuition guiding you right there.
Yeah. I have to think about that more. I'm not really sure what I'm dealing with that. Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, with all of these, and thank you so much for all of you being willing to show up in your vulnerability with just creating these and letting them be a work in progress, because that's exactly what they are. You're just creating a tool for more effectiveness, for more, just standing more solid in the work that you're doing. And you can have more than one. You can have one for yoga. You can have one for mentor coaching. And I love that I can't remember all, but I heard a lot of people use the modality of mentor coaching as the way that you're going to get your clients there. And so you're all stepping into the role brilliantly. I love it. Very, very powerful. So continue to work on that piece. And like I said, it's evolving. So before we get into our Coach the Coach demo, I'm sorry. Let me just step back for a moment and just, I want to leave you with these. Hang on a second. I lost my page. Just highlight on page 145 and 146, as we continue to help you with your EBS, the six questions. What is your promise? Who is it for? Et cetera, because that will help keep you clarifying and distilling your UBS. So that's the last piece I want to say on that. Okay, who would like to name the five tools for the Simple Coaching Model before we go into our call?
This is Nicole. Specify the client's agenda. Determine when there are useful intervention moments, shift their perspective, frame their session, and follow up.
Great. So in our demo session, we're listening for all five, especially the last one, the follow-up. So today, Olga will be coaching Jess, and Francis will be observing. So Nicole, Francis, and myself will mute. Ladies, watch your time and just give us a second, and then have a great session.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Mm-hmm. What would you like to work on this week?
You know, I don't have a specific topic, but maybe I can just share kind of how I'm feeling and something will evolve.
Okay.
So I'm feeling like I'm at this crossroads in my life where the demands of my day-to-day job and some of the opportunities, potential opportunities that are coming up with a more business-related career are percolating. I'm being considered for a potential role within the company beyond my current role. And then on the other hand, I feel like the hard work I've put in and the things that I really like about teaching and Reiki and the potential coaching path and this desire for a more simple lifestyle, that's also coming about. But they're both happening at the same time. And I feel like I need to get clearer internally on what I want, knowing that my desire is powerful in manifesting the path that is going to be the most fulfilling and of service. And yet I know that obviously the universe and everything will just kind of conspire to make one thing easier or more fluid, or it'll just happen. But yet I feel a little bit stuck and a little bit waiting.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is these two possibilities and these two possibilities both being positive, however, maybe wanting one more than the other. And I'm wondering if you would just like to play with me and looking into the future, let's say 5 years from now, if you were to look at yourself 5 years from now in the business role going up, you know, in the company that you're working for, and then, you know, seeing how you feel at, you know, in that moment, what life looks like for you at that moment. And then we'll do the same for, you know, you doing your yoga practice, Reiki. Working for yourself possibly and the things that you mentioned. Would you like to do that?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. So let's say, so here you are in 2019, and, you know, you're working in the company that you know, that you're working for right now. Oh, you know, what position you would have, what your responsibilities are, how you are towards other people, you know, in the company, how your feelings are towards other people, how people feel towards you.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a lot, but just maybe close your eyes and for a moment just look forward to that moment 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know what comes up for you.
I mean, the thing that I'm seeing is actually family. I'm seeing myself holding a child and, like, rushing out the door and feeling excited but also really overwhelmed.
Okay.
And feeling I have a vision of myself alone in an office, kind of with my head in my hands, and being like the sense of responsibility is almost crushing.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I have a vision of, you know, shaking hands with new people and talking about big strategic opportunities and having opportunity to be really strategic and set a vision.
Okay. Tell me more.
I guess the overwhelming word that I feel when I think about this is alone.
Feeling alone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how does that feel in your body?
It feels kind of painful in my heart. Like, I feel like I kind of want to close in on myself. Yeah. It's like a sense of being alone and yet overextended.
Okay. Anything else, Jess?
I mean, there's also this, I think it's probably from a sense of ego, this sense of, like, you know, getting recognition, being recognized.
Okay. And how important?
Being recognized by, like, my business school classmates and being recognized by, like, you know, kind of that outer world in general.
Okay. And how important is recognition for you?
It's probably fairly important if I'm really honest with myself. I don't know. And yet again, it's not. It's like, I think I'm happiest when I feel like I'm helping other people. But I do like to be recognized. I mean, I think most people do. It feels good.
Okay. Is there anything else that's coming up?
No, just those feelings of alone and overwhelmment and overextended, but also recognition and excitement.
Okay. Okay. All right, so let's come back to 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's look ahead again, 5 years from now, where you have simplicity in your life and you're making the choices for what you want to add to your life.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have coaching, yoga, Reiki. How does that look like 5 years from now?
Mm-hmm. It feels peaceful. Mm-hmm. It feels nurturing and empowering. It feels autonomous and freeing, like I can set my schedule, and it feels of service. It feels nourishing. It feels like I'm channeling my gifts and also my greater purpose. It feels lighter than how I feel right now in 2014 anyway.
Okay. Anything else?
It feels more spiritually connected.
I sense that that's really important for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just from the tone of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
And I still see the family thing in this one. I still see myself, you know, making breakfast for children and then sending them off to school and then doing my yoga practice and then having my private clients, whether they're Reiki or coaching or yoga or some sort of combination, and then writing and working on a book or a blog and, you know, and talking to my husband halfway through the day and then seeing everyone again and going on personal explorations and journeys and adventure. And I know I don't want to jump ahead, but I think my concern with the first path that we've envisioning is so many trade-offs. Like, it would require 50 hours of working a week, and there would be lots of trade-offs. I probably couldn't teach anymore. And, you know, I have concerns with the family thing, and yet this kind of higher-level executive position is something that I had been working towards. So I feel in this evolution of my path, there's going to be grief and loss either way. There's going to be grief and loss of letting go of an opportunity that I had worked so hard earlier in my life for that gives me a lot of external praise and recognition, and that I feel like I am very qualified to do, and maybe that should be my dharma. But then if I take the other, so there's trade-offs either way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how would you be recognized, you know, in the second option that you have, where you're getting, you know, this peaceful, nurturing, autonomous life with the experience of time management that you already have and coming
that's
to
such
the,
a,
what you're working for?
That's such a good question, because immediately when you said, how will I get recognized? My intuition said, well, I won't need to be recognized because I'll know that what I'm doing is warming my heart through serving others. So that need to be that need to be recognized is mainly when I'm doing something that I actually don't want to do.
Can you repeat that again? I mean, it's so powerful that I have goosebumps.
No.
Just said.
I want
us to be really fully connected with what you just said.
I'm scared to say it because I think that this aha really will unlock powerful things for me, but the question you asked me, how will I feel recognized when I'm teaching and writing and healing, I said, I don't need to be recognized for those areas because it's something I want to do of service and of joy. But when I'm doing something I don't want to be doing or that I feel requires sacrifice or I feel requires putting aside my personal needs, then I want recognition in that. It's kind of like a barter trade system. I'm going to do something I don't want to do, so you've got to recognize me.
Yeah. Wow. That's really, really powerful.
It's kind of like a kid getting recognized for, you know, oh, good job, you ate your vegetables, but they don't want to eat their freaking vegetables.
Anything else that's coming up for you with this that you'd like to share?
I just feel a lot of sadness because I feel like this external orientation is melting away, which is really powerful, but there is a lot of grief and unsettling associated with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can sense when you talk about it, your voice cracking a bit.
Yeah.
And what are you doing to help you cope through this period of grief?
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't acknowledge that I was grieving until right now because over the past week, I've still been living in this world of like, maybe I would want to become CEO. Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I should take this. This is what my path's been leading towards. Maybe I can be happy and just do it for 2 years and then return to what I really love. And like, I was still trying to live in this world of doing both, and so I haven't felt the sadness until now.
And what can you do in the coming week to help you sit with what is coming up for you and just observing and maybe journaling? Maybe you'd like to do something else, I don't know, you know, for the next week that we can check in next week and you let me know how that progress is, if it, you know, how it's what's coming up for you basically is what I'm curious about in the next week. By you sitting with the sadness and the grief.
Well, I don't want to push back on you, but I'd actually rather not focus on the sadness and grief and rather focus on the, like, 2019 plan when I'm doing these other things, because if I can focus on the joy and fulfillment down my path that I'm more consciously choosing with my heart, then it will probably lessen the grief.
Okay.
Is that okay if I make that
choice? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so I guess some things that I could do is I could take some more time to craft out that vision and add more meat to the bones on what it'll feel like in 5 years and all the places that I could go. I mean, and I'm getting excited now just thinking about in 2019 all the different things I could be working on. And I could still be helping executives. I could still be having my, you know, a toe in the business world. And that grief then kind of subsides when I realize that just because I'm closing one door doesn't mean that, like, this entire business school, engineering business background is, like, for naught.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I could commit to maybe sending you more details about my vision, or I could commit to spending time visioning.
Okay. Yeah, I look forward to getting the details on the visioning. What day next week is good for you, or maybe you need 2 weeks, I don't know.
Well, I'm speaking of the self-care, I'm taking a day vacation on Thursday for no reason. So I can work on this on Thursday.
Okay. All right, so I look forward to getting your vision for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
At least before next Tuesday, is that good?
Yeah, I would like it if we set the expectation I have to give it to you on Thursday, because otherwise I might not end up doing it on Thursday. I'll just wait until Monday night.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So I look forward to receiving it then on Thursday.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Nicole and Frances, come back to the call. And Frances, if you would guide our feedback discussion, please.
Yeah. Sorry, my phone cut off towards the beginning, so I didn't quite hear the agenda being set. I missed that part. I jumped in when Jeff was visualizing the 5 years ahead the first time. But that, just the visualization piece, sounded really powerful, and it seemed like it was able to make Jess more clear about which path felt better to her. And I think Olga did a great job just kind of sitting back and letting Jess explore different areas that she needed to, and asking those open-ended questions to allow more exploration. And they tied it in the end with the follow-up, with a specific day. And I guess if they wanted to make it more specific, they could have said how they were going to communicate or set a time, something like that. But otherwise, it seemed pretty complete.
Thanks, Frances. Were you able to determine if there was any useful intervention moments, sort of aha, of that session?
I feel like the aha came when Jess was visualizing the 5 years ahead, and then she made that connection of being recognized and how she didn't need to be recognized in her second visualization. And it was when she was doing things that she didn't want to be doing that she needed that piece of recognition. Oh, and one more thing that I forgot earlier. Jess had said a few times that she felt a lot of grief around it, and just from the previous times that we've had these practice sessions, Sasha, you've talked about not being afraid to explore, like, those feelings that are uncomfortable. And so I don't know if that was the area that Jess maybe wanted to explore more, just how does that grief feel, or how is that sitting with you, and just kind of delving in a little more with that if there was more time. But that was just one thing that came up for me as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great insight, Frances, and I'll piggyback onto that when I add my feedback at the end, so just note that. But thank you. Nicole, what would you like to share? What are your thoughts?
I thought Frances was actually quite clear. I had the same notes. I thought this was an amazing call. It was very inspirational for me because Jess and I are like soul twin mates. I have the same exact, issue that I deal with. And so I thought Olga held just such a beautiful space by playing into this idea of imagination, which I think drops us really quickly out of our heads, and it pulls us into our emotions. She kept saying, how are you feeling? What does it feel like when you close your eyes? How do others feel towards you? And then she could really go into that sense of overwhelm that I think has been mirrored to us several times, even in the stressed out, helping stressed out business people. It's that stress that she feels. And so by getting to that point of that emotional recognition, she could see that that's not what she desires. And then that aha moment about the recognition was so brilliant. I was waiting for Olga in the second one to come back to it. And when she did, I was like, ah, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, she didn't bring it back up. But then she did. And she just let her keep talking and emoting. And it was so clear on paper. You know, I was just writing notes, which path was her path. And it's just astonishing in 15 minutes through this coaching call that you could get to a place that was that stark. So that was amazing to watch. And I did hear the grief part. I also knew we were running out of time.
So maybe that would be something, if there was more time, to go into, just to feel those feelings and let her work through some of those feelings so she could manage them. Because going into a fulfillment plan seems like that could be even a little bit stressful also. But she did say that that was to craft something joyful and fulfilling. And so I think it ended in a great place. And I saw all the steps right in a row. So it was just perfect.
Thank you, Nicole. Jess, how did that feel for you?
It felt really good. I think that I came into this call having no idea what I wanted to talk about, but of course these things have been weighing on my mind. And then Olga was really quickly able to get me into a place where I really had to step into how I would feel and leave that comfort zone of ambiguity right now. Even though I wanted clarity, it was easier to not go through that step towards grief, because I knew that either path would have some sort of loss and relief. And I love that she asked me that recognition question, and that she felt that emotional charge behind that, because that unlocked everything for me. And I felt a burst of energy in my heart once I got through that. And that was really powerful. And that burst of energy in my heart is what I'm carrying with me to kind of maintain the vision. I think the reason I didn't want to go through the grief thing when she asked, you know, how can you sit with the grief, is it just seemed way too overwhelming. I've done a lot of grieving in the last year related to my family and relating to other issues that I experienced growing up. And the thought of just like sitting and crying on my cushion, I just couldn't deal with it right now. So I appreciate that she allowed me to make that request. Maybe if we had more time, I would have been more willing to sit with it.
Thank you so much. Nicole, I'm sorry. Olga, how did that feel for you?
It feels really good. I love the feedback. And you know, going into the grief, you know, it's a lovely thing where a client is able to come back and say to you, you know what, I don't want to go there. And so that was really, you know, yes, I made a suggestion, and Jess didn't want to go there, and it was really nice to get that honesty and the truthfulness from her, where she didn't want to focus on, you know, on her vision for 2019, because that's really what she wants to focus on at this moment. So, that's the part that I'm taking away from this coaching session. You know, that it's okay, you know, to suggest something where the client. But then, you know, it's just creating that truthfulness and that honesty from your client, you know, that it's okay for them to say, no, I don't want to do what you're just suggesting.
Thank you.
And this is...
Go ahead, Jess.
Oh, sorry. If I could interject one thing. I think, Olga, I just realized that it wasn't so much that I didn't want to sit with the grief, but it seemed too much to go from expressing my grief to now making an action plan for how I'm going to deal with it. So I know we didn't have much time, but maybe if the call were longer, instead of, you asked what I believe was somewhat of a leading question, like, well, you know, could you journal about this, or what could you do about it? And I was like, whoa, I just uncovered this. This is too much.
Yeah.
Let me focus on something else. So step by step might have made it easier for me to process.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. That's great. Again, just I love how all of you are listening so intently and building that muscle and giving each other incredible feedback, because this is how we're all growing. And I have to say, Olga, I've seen tremendous growth in you since the last demo session. So I know that your practice calls with Brandy and not yet, Jess, but I think that's coming up, has really empowered you to show up with more confidence. I just felt the energy felt different to me from you in your last session with Brandy. And I can tell that you're really stepping in and owning this role as a mentor coach. So I just wanted to give you accolades on that. So some thoughts. just some powerful tools that you used, you know, with the visualization and the somatic experience. I love, you know, taking the client on the journey, which will take them immediately out of their head and connect them to their heart when you talk about, you know, the somatics. But clearly, the aha moment came when, and you all named it when Jess talked about the recognition piece. And then what I felt was a complete polarity, like we talked about in the beginning of our call, into her grief. And it is absolutely incredible how we can tap into so much in 15 minutes. Just imagine how much you're going to accomplish when you have a client for a full hour, right? So it was interesting to me to bear witness to, okay, here's this recognition piece, but then here's this grief piece. And so, like Sean Korn always talks about, it's the shadow versus the light. And I completely agree with all of you that given the time frame of this session, there really wasn't enough time to step into the grief. You know, we're running short on time. If it was a longer session, I think that's a really tender but yet important place to explore, because without any of us, and I'm not just pointing out you, Jess, any of us, without tapping into our resistance, our limiting beliefs, our grief, the things that hold us back from stepping in, we're not going to fully step in and show up. And so, yes, being holding that piece in a very safe and sacred container, and then also you did a beautiful job, Olga, of not hijacking the agenda, because you suggested to create a homework piece around the grief. And yet the beautiful thing about coaching is it's all about the client's agenda. And Jess felt strongly, and I hope that all the clients that we work with have the ability and strength and truth to show up in what feels right to them. And then, Olga, you completely, you know, supported her in her choice. And in an evolving relationship, that piece will be there. There's time to come back to it. So I really like that dance at the end with not hijacking the client's agenda. And that's what makes this collaborative experience so, so powerful. Let me just see if I had anything else here. I think that you guys got through all the 5 steps, and I'm just continuing to be amazed and inspired by all the work that all of you are doing, Brandy included. So take a deep breath in. Exhale through the mouth. Beautiful work, everyone. So for our homework, read pages 153 through 184. Please take the action challenge on page 10 in your yoga supplement. And then I would like for you to practice, your UBS statement with your buddy, maybe with a friend, and just continuing to craft that a bit. Okay? Everybody good?
Yes, thank
awesome.
You.
Thank yeah, you're welcome. Great work, ladies. Have a wonderful week. Let me know if I can support you before next time. And I look forward to talking to you then.
Okay. Thanks, Sasha.
Okay.
Thank you, Sasha.
You're so welcome. You're welcome.
Everyone.
Bye, guys.